WURL Billings, Montana, with the 20th Century Reformation Hour by transcription from Collingswood, New Jersey, with Dr. Carl McIntyre. The time? 6:30.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Well, we're back with you again. Yesterday, we were down in Washington, D.C., and we had a thrilling, tremendous day. I'll give you a rundown on it. I know many of you are waiting for it. Also, this radio station, there are two of them now in Baltimore that have been carrying our program for 2 days. And I'd like to alert you people again, along at least out in York and up in Harrisburg, in that way, that you can pick us up at 12:30 to 1. 12:30 to 1 every day, Monday through Friday, at 7:50 on your dial. It's WBMD, and it's our noonday broadcast that we haven't had now for all these months. And then another station in Baltimore, WTOW, at 1570. This station carries the program you're now listening to at 10 a.m. and then at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Now, we want to get all our folks throughout the state of Maryland, southern sections of Pennsylvania, and over into Virginia to be alerted to these two stations, because there was tremendous excitement yesterday, and you'll be interested to know that at the noonday broadcast from 12:30 to 1, which I made yesterday there in Washington, right on the corner alongside of the Federal Communications Commission, that the broadcast came in very clear right there in the heart of Washington, D.C. One of our co-workers, the president of the Washington Christian Action Council, Mr. Kenneth Lee, had his car radio on, and he stood there on the corner, and when I finished, he said, "Doctor, I've been listening to you just as clear as could be." All right, now let's have prayer. You must get the report on these developments down there in Washington, D.C., both with the Federal Communications Commission and with the matter of the trade with the Russians. Also, Broadcasting Magazine has just come out with a report that this committee in Washington is bringing out a new bill, but the bill is completely devoid of any of the things that we've been asking that might be in it. And it looks like we're going to have a real battle now with the various congressmen. You people are going to have to wake up, because our enemies have been able to get in this new bill concerning the FCC a solidifying of the so-called fairness doctrine. Instead of eliminating it, they're going to make it concrete, and tremendous pressures are operating in Washington at the present time. We'll be giving you more on these developments, too. But now let's have a word of prayer. I told you yesterday about the World Catholic Church's financing to $450,000 for more of this guerrilla activity. Now we have learned today, at least I learned it in Washington yesterday, that the World Catholic Churches has spent $600,000 in the travel expenses and the removal of these communists that are in danger down in Chile. In other words, the World Catholic Churches calls them refugees from Chile, but they are the communists who went in there some months ago to help the communist take over of Chile. Now the World Catholic Churches has been financing the removal of these communists, and they're sending them to Cuba, by the way. They're sending them to Algeria and some of the other communist countries. I've gotten that story. We'll have the full story in the Christian Beacon next week with a photographic reproduction of it. Now let's have our prayer, all of you. We've got many things to pray for. We've got great difficulties down in Washington, D.C., and apparently there are tremendous forces working, determined to keep this so-called fairness doctrine, so that these elements can get their way when it comes to censoring and repressing speech in this country and making it impossible for the radios to have the freedom that they're intending to have. After our demonstration yesterday in Washington, we went over to the office of Senator Sam Ervin and also to the office of Senator Jesse Helms. We'll give you a report on that. But we do have some friends down there, ladies and gentlemen, and there are some men who see these issues clearly as you and I see them, and they want the First Amendment of the Constitution to be returned to the radio stations, and they want the First Amendment rights, the right to hear, the right to know. They want that returned to the people of the country in this area of radio and television. Now, thank you, folks, for your prayers. We're asking you to keep us in prayer every day. And thank you very, very much for all that you're doing to help us. But we never needed support and help quite like we do right now. Let's have your prayers, and we thank you so much. Our Father, we pray for one another. We pray for the Congress of the United States. And now that this Committee on Oversight of the House is coming out with a bill that ignores the things that we've been asking for, we ask that there'll be a real reaction down in Congress. We ask that the people all over the country will go to work and help us. We do ask, Father, that WSUR may be put back on the air. This is our request. And we ask that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be heard in this land, that we shall be able to preach the Word of God and alert men everywhere to the mischief of the old devil and all that Satan has been doing and is doing to bring in his kingdom of ruin and of darkness. Now, our Father, we thank thee for all the privileges we've had. And may we be grateful for what thou hast done for us in thy grace. Save those who are lost. And may men and women turn to thee before it is too late. These things we ask in the name and for the sake of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in regard to my exposition from the book of Revelation that we've been giving you, I've been asking you people to memorize Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Well, I have a letter here dated February 23rd from a Mr. and Mrs. Milford in, Bridgeport, Illinois. No, it's Milford and Ella May Cutwell, I believe it is. At any rate, I have a beautiful letter. I'm sending you a check for $10 for your February special offer of subscriptions for the Christian Beacon, 3 for $10. I listen to you on our radio station, WAKO, and enjoy every minute. I have also learned Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, and hope that many others will do the same. I would like some of your copies of the Living Bible, also your bumper stickers, whatever else that you can send to us. Thank you and God bless you. Well, folks, we have bumper stickers now. They're red, white, and blue, simply First Amendment marked. Now, I'll send them to you. Get me a letter in the mail immediately. It has First Amendment mark, Washington, April 6th. And you put that on the rear of your car, you will raise all kinds of questions all over the place. And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we want to do. Also, we have flyers. We gave away hundreds and hundreds of flyers yesterday in Washington, D.C. Now, the reason I've asked you to memorize this passage in Revelation, it's the description of Jesus Christ in his glory, in his power. It's the only description we have of him anywhere in the Bible. And John says, being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And then he proceeds to describe his eyes and his feet and his hands, and oh, it's a beautiful description. And when John saw it, he fell at his feet as dead. Now, this is the Christ that the Apostle Paul saw when he got converted. Paul was on the road to Damascus, and when he saw this Christ in his glory, he fell off his horse. Now, I want you people to read and to memorize this. This is our Christ. This is the Christ that's at the right hand of God right now. And then you see him speaking to the seven churches of Asia. And that's chapters 2 and 3. And then you have the great worship scenes in heaven. And we'll all be up there, because we're the redeemed, and the church has been caught into that great and glorious choir that's praising God and saying the Lamb is worthy because he hath shed his blood and redeemed us to God out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue. These two chapters 4 and 5 are the worship scenes in heaven. And we'll all be there, praising the Lamb. Then beginning in chapter 6, the Lamb proceeds to open the seal. And you have the four horsemen who represent the coming then of the man of sin, the Antichrist, the man who's going to take over the world, the great beast of Revelation. Now, in my study of all this, I also started from the rear of the book, from the end of the book, and worked back. And if you start from the beginning and work forward, or start from the rear of the book and work back again, you can narrow this book down, and it's you can help locate and place some of these various events. But when you start at the rear of the book, you have chapter 22, and that's paradise, the new heavens and the new earth. Perfectly clear that God's going to take this present earth and the heavens as we see it and remove all the effects of sin and all the consequences of his judgment against it. And then you come to chapter 21, and in chapter 21, you have the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. And there's no question about that one. There are 12 gates, and these 12 gates represent the 12 tribes, and there are 12 foundations, and these foundations represent the 12 apostles. And I want you people who have a tendency to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament to recognize that when you get the holy city, the final great glory, it's all wrapped up in one big, glorious, beautiful city. We don't separate the Old Testament from the New Testament at all. The Old Testament has in it the New Testament. And the New Testament explains the Old Testament to us in a beautiful unity and oneness. There's one precious way of salvation. It is by faith. The shed blood of Jesus Christ makes that atonement. It's all in the Old Testament. It's all in the New Testament. And there's one Bible with one message of salvation. And Dr. McIntyre doesn't break the Old Testament away from the New Testament in any way, shape, or form. Then you come, of course, to Revelation 19, or Revelation 20. And in 20, you have the reign of our Savior, 1,000 years. And if you're going to talk about that 1,000 years, we'll be talking about it a little bit later. You've got to take it in the same sense in which you deal with the other references to time, which are in the same book. The 42 months, for example. The 1,260 days, for example. You're going to have a period of time on this earth when Jesus will be in complete command. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's chapter 20. Chapter 19, as you work back, is the scene when Jesus Christ comes with all his own. And here is the fulfillment of his own precious words in Luke 21, Matthew 24 and 25. He shall gather his elect together from one end of the heavens to the other as lightning flashes. And then he will come, and he'll bring his armies with him. And when we come with him in that unveiling, that apocalypse, he is going to destroy the beast. He'll take this old beast, this Antichrist, and he'll bind him up and put him down in that lake of fire. Now, that's chapter 19, and we're all with him, shouting and hailing him with hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, there's a living Christ. He's in his glorified body today. There is a great company of redeemed people through all the ages. I belong to that company. We are real human beings who've been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And here we are, the redeemed of God, in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's Revelation 19. Then you back down to Revelation 18 and 17, and these two chapters go together. And here you have the picture of this gray harlot woman riding on the back of a beast. It is the same beast of Revelation 13. It's the same beast of Revelation 6, the man on the white horse, you see. And he'll be the world dictator sustaining this Babylon. And this Babylon is unquestionably recognized as the apostate ecclesiastical system of the order of that day. And God says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and of her plagues. So you can work back, you see, from Revelation 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, and when you get to 16, chapter 16, you have the great chapter on the vial. And these are the last great outpouring of God's terrible wrath against this old earth because of its sin and its rebellion against him and the awful blasphemy which will be carried on the earth during that time. This is Carl McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen, just helping you now with the last book in the Bible. And I'm preaching on it in my pulpit. I'm preaching on it in the college. We're everywhere we go. We're just saturating ourselves in it. And we're going to conduct now a wonderful, wonderful Bible conference, I'm calling it, in the Holy Land. And I'm going to go and lead the conference May 3 to 13, a full 10-day conference all through the Holy Land. And we'll be taking it. We're not making anything out of it, but we'll be taking a lot of the people who'd like to go, and the expense, all expense in every way, will only be $795. If you'd like to join us in this trip to the Holy Land, in which we'll be dealing with Revelation and, of course, the present circumstances, and we'll go back into the prophecy, we'd be very happy to hear from you. Now, beloved, the latest action, so far as our government is concerned, in aiding and helping and giving the communists what they want, is a meeting that was held in Washington yesterday. And we went down with a couple of our buses from here, and we're joined with some of our people in Washington. And at that Madison Hotel, we had an excellent, excellent demonstration. We carried great big signs about Solzhenitsyn. He's the latest Russian to be expelled and his citizenship taken away from him. Terrible repression. But the New York Times this morning carries a lengthy story on the meeting with the Soviet so-called businessmen. There are no businessmen, of course, over there. They're all agents. But it doesn't in any way mention that there was any objection or any protest. So we've got another case of just one-sided newspaper reporting to help the Russians. But may I read you from the report in the New York Times, because it's very significant in the light of what we've been saying. The Soviet Foreign Trade Minister, Nikolai F. Patolichev, said today that even though Russian-American trade had expanded substantially in the last 2 years, there's a long way to go. Speaking at a conference after the first meeting of the U.S.-USSR Trade and Economic Council, he added, however, that it is up to those who want to sell to provide the necessary financing. Credits are an integral part of doing business nowadays. But it is difficult to say who is more interested, the buyer or the seller. If no credits are expanded, no one will buy Pepsi Cola, he added. Sitting on the minister's right and smiling broadly at this sally was Donald M. Kendall, chairman of Pepsi Cola. Mr. Kendall is serving as working co-chairman of the new council. Other points made by the Soviet leader in response to questions are the following. The only assurance that Moscow can offer Washington on the flow of natural gas in a crisis to the United States is, quote, we are serious partners in a deal now under consideration. In other words, we can finance the gas and the oil developments of Russia, but there's no commitment that they'll ever let us have any of it. We're just serious partners. Moscow does not intend to change its restrictive policy on the immigration of Soviet Jews, insisting that this is purely internal affair. Those American senators who want to deny most favored nation trading status and credit to the Soviet Union because of its immigration policy display, quote, thinking typical of the past. So, at least out of this conference, we've got a joint council set up, headed by the chairman of Pepsi-Cola. You had, of course, the leaders of General Motors and the Chase National Bank and these other groups, Mr. Hammer, you know, and these other men who are well known to us now, of the Occidental Oil Company and the like. These men are doing, with the support of the government, what they think needs to be done to offset the rising anti-Soviet sentiment in the United States, according to an earlier report in the New York Times. Now, while I was there yesterday, by the way, I'm just reporting to you now, read from the New York Times, but they did not in any way report that there was any challenge or any demonstration or anything of this sort against this capitulation to the Soviets. Now, we're going to put up the money. You just heard this report that they're not going to buy from us unless we provide the money. And that's the thing that we've been afflicted with all along. On the wheat deal, ladies and gentlemen, we gave the credit for the purchase of all the wheat at $1.65 a bushel. And now the Russians can sell it back to us at $5.80 a bushel. We want to get that through to you people all over the country. But while I was there, a gentleman came from the inside out. Of course, I went on the inside and I saw some of these Russians. But I wasn't permitted, of course, to go inside to the council chamber where they were discussing these matters. But a man came out and said, "Doctor," he said, "I've listened to you many times on the radio." And he says, "I'm a businessman." And I said, "Sir, what is your name?" "Well," he says, "I don't think I need to give you my name." I said, "Well, where do you live?" "Well, I don't need to tell you where I live." And he wouldn't identify himself except to say he wasn't a businessman. And he walked along with me. He said, "Now, I'd like to tell you, Doctor, some of the ideas that we have, and you must understand that the State Department is backing this." And he says, "When the State Department backs a thing like this," he says, "there's not much that we can do." He says, "We're just going along with it." "Well," I said, "what are the ideas?" "Well," he says, "the big idea is that if we will help the Russians, if we will build them up economically, if we will teach them how to do these things, they'll become interested in their economy and a better standard of living, and they won't be so much interested in missiles. And we'll be able to deflect their interest as a people from these war endeavors to a peaceful pursuit." I said, "Sir," I said, "you know what the communists are doing right now? They have suppressed their people economically so they can have their missiles. And they're building themselves up." And I said, "Mao Zedong says that power comes out of the barrel of a gun." I said, "That's what they believe. And they're going to build themselves up to where they can challenge and take over the whole world." And I said, "You men, all you men are doing is simply aiding the enemies, and you're aiding in the destruction of the capitalism that made possible what you now possess." And the man said, "Well, maybe, maybe that could be it." He said, "You know," he said, "Lenin said that the capitalists would buy the ropes from us to hang them." I said, "That's what you men are doing." "Well," he says, "now that's not quite the proper focus, Mr. McIntyre. Just don't look at it quite so extreme." I said, "Sir, you're in there right now talking to these communists. Their only purpose is to strengthen themselves so they can take over and destroy the capitalistic world. And you now are willing to help them do it." At least I got a chance to say that. You know, I got to thinking about that fella. He wouldn't identify himself. He was a nice-looking fella. I finally got the idea he must have been one of these State Department stooges that was walking around there sizing this thing up, and he decided to have a little talk with me and keep himself secret. Following that, we then went over to the Federal Communications Commission building to have our little farewell demonstration for Dean Burke. We gave away a statement, which I have here, a beautiful statement, and our people piled out of the buses, and there was a big crowd over there. And we just gave away literature and tracts and the statement by Sam Irvin, you know, and the latest issue of the Christian Beacon. And some of the young men from Faith Seminary, the students were over there with us. And believe me, the people were just anxious to get this information. Well, at 12:30, it came time for me to go to a telephone booth and take on the noonday broadcast, which we now have had restored on WBMD in Baltimore. So I went to the telephone booth, and then our people proceeded to go over to the White House. And just before I began to broadcast, this Mr. Lee, of whom I spoke, was out on the corner there giving out announcements of the coming First Amendment march and the like. And along came Commissioner Wiley, who has been now appointed by the President to take the position of Dean Burke. Mr. Lee recognized him and called his name and handed him some of this literature, And he said, Mr. Wiley, he says, there's Dr. McIntyre getting ready to make a broadcast in that telephone booth. And Mr. Wiley looked over, and of course, he was only about 20 feet away from us, and I smiled, and he stuck up his hand and waved at me, and I waved at him, and I beckoned for him to come over and go on the radio. Here's the new coming chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, and in the providence of God, we were thrown close to each other on the corner of M and 19th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Of course, he just shook his head and nodded, said, no, this is not the place for anything like that, and he went away. But wasn't it interesting that in the providences of God, this man saw exactly what was going on. The big demonstration, I was there, and the challenges that we're making against the Federal Communications Commission policies of repression, the denial of free speech. And folks, it may be that we are getting through, but we're not getting through over on Capitol Hill with this committee, which is now coming out with a big bill, which is going to solidify in concrete, ladies and gentlemen, this so-called fairness doctrine. They're not about to abandon it. They're going to make it concrete, and it'll be in some sort of statutory form, is the way they're phrasing it, and this we're going to have to oppose. They're going to take away by statute now, not just by rules of the Federal Communications Commission, the rights of the people to have the free speech and the free exercise of religion as we're entitled to have it here in the blessed United States of America. Folks, we've really got a battle on our hands. And I want all of you, dear people, to continue to be with us in prayer. If any of you haven't gotten in your petitions, we're going to go down with these petitions now, I hope next week, and present them to Carl Albert. With this new bill coming out as it is, we're going to have to try to offset it. If we can't meet it in the House, we'll have to stop it if we can in the Senate, because we seem to have more favorable Senate opinion now than we have apparently, certainly in this House area where this committee is dealing with the Federal Communications Commission. Then we have the WSUR bill, which is in the Judiciary Committee. And we're hoping that maybe we can get some hearings on that. But it's not easy, ladies and gentlemen, with all the pressures that are in Washington at the present time. But we have a God in heaven. We're working and we're praying and we're doing what we can with the help of all you good people. This is Carl McIntyre. We've just had some excitement, of course. Perhaps I can read you my statement on Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which we gave away yesterday. But isn't it interesting that this New York Times has a lengthy story about the whole affair yesterday, and not one single sentence that there was any outward opposition whatsoever? That's the way the newspapers give us one side, and it helps the Russians, you see. It helps them. Now, God bless you. My address is Carl McIntyre, 20th Century Reformation Hour, Collingswood, New Jersey. 20th Century Reformation Hour, Collingswood, New Jersey. I'm urging all of you to get your busted. Let's get busted. The great First Amendment march in Washington will be April 6th. That's the Saturday before Palm Sunday. You folks can all be free. But get a bus and get it filled just as quickly as you possibly can. And if we ever had issues of freedom, if we ever had a country being sold out to the communists and to our enemies, it's being done today. And when Pepsi-Cola, the head of it, will become the chairman of this council, joined in with the Soviets, whereby we are going to put up the credit, as the communists here demand, I've just read it to you, and then we're going to build the communist world economically and financially so they'll be stronger in their ability to maintain their military might and proceed to take over the world as they're seeking now to do in southern Africa and now in Peru and now as the Russians have gotten with their advisors there into Peru in South America. I reported that to you yesterday. Folks, isn't it wonderful that we have a God? One thing about Dr. McIntyre, folks, I haven't yielded. We haven't compromised. We stood firm and strong, and we're going to stay there. And God is able to deliver us. And that's what we're praying for. WSUR must be put back on the air now by an act of Congress. All right, I invite you people, those of you who can, to see us in Cape Canaveral. We've got buses going down every Friday to Cape Canaveral, a wonderful Bible conference in the state of Florida, right alongside the Space Center. That's all, and we'll be with you in the next broadcast, so stand by, and there'll be developments, of course, between now and then. Bye-bye today.
Address your contribution to the 20th Century Reformation Hour, Box 962, Billings, Montana. Send it through the local committee in order to be used for broadcast on this station. KURL AM/FM in Billings, Montana. 25 degrees here in the valley. Forecast is for a winter weather watch today. Gusty northeast winds and chance of moisture diminishing during the day to 60% by tonight and 50% tomorrow. The high today, well, we won't have much of a high. Temperatures in the 20s. A low tonight, 10 to 15. High tomorrow, 18 to 23.